You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays. Raining Jays. Millie.
Welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you, as always, for bringing us along with you on your daily routine, your daily grind, Monday through Friday. We are here with you. We are the Rain and Jays. I am John Corrales of MassLive.com. Jay King of The Athletic joins me to answer your mailbag questions. A lot going on here with people asking a ton of questions. We're going to start with one from practice today that happened to do with Jaylen Brown's hand at Prof Chop. What's up with Brown hurting his hand? And for those of you who haven't heard, Brad Stevens came out and said that Jaylen Brown has a contusion on his hand. It was kind of a thing that happened when he fell against Dallas, and it got kind of re-aggravated somewhere along the way, and he's questionable against Phoenix as of right now when we're recording. So what's up with that? I don't know what triggered that. He must have gotten hit or something. But interesting, Jay, because you noticed that that's, first of all, it's a shooting hand, so maybe that's connected to something.
Yeah, and when he first came back, he clearly was focused on getting to the rim and almost entirely stopped shooting three-pointers and for like the first couple of games back. So that's just interesting that I don't think we even knew that his hand was injured in that fall.
Like we knew.
Yeah, we knew his back was hurting. We knew he had some spasms. We knew obviously his tailbone, but we didn't know that the hand also took a bruise in the fall. And it makes sense because I was wondering if maybe he'd lost confidence in his shot before he came out against, I think it was the Bulls, and hit like three late in that game. So that's just another layer to his recent play, which has been kind of up and down. He had six games where he was really good and then a couple where he wasn't so good. So now we know that he was hurting a little more than we realized.
Yeah, something must have happened along the way because he came back and he was really good, and then he must have gotten hurt in the past couple of games. I mean, maybe that's why he struggled a little bit in the past couple of games. And we know with Jaylen Brown that once a few things stop going his way, he has the potential to kind of get into his own head and things start to cascade a little bit. So could be something like his hands hurt and then the shot's not falling, and then that the shot's not falling, something else happens.
Well, now your back's gonna hurt too because you just picked up landscaping duty.
what's that from? I have no idea what that's from.
You don't know what that's from?
No.
Happy Gilmore, come on, man.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's been a while. I'm sure
Mista.
I'm sure that's on your heavy rotation, but it's been a while since I've seen it.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely on my rotation.
This brings us to a question from at Bobby Briggs 15. Do you think Jaylen will get back on track before the playoffs? Will he ever be in the starting lineup again? So if I'm going to make the assumption that his injury to a shooting hand is part of the problem, and like I said, obviously him getting down on himself is part of the problem, but will he get back on track before the playoffs? I think there's a high possibility of that. I would, if I had to put my money on whether he would or wouldn't, I would guess that he would, but obviously there's no guarantee. We don't know. And I think that Jaylen Brown is likely to get back on track because he's talented. And I think that eventually between him, his teammates, his coaches, I think they'll be able to figure it out. And will he ever be in the starting lineup again? I think it's also very, very possible that he could be in the starting lineup again. I believe that the Celtics starting lineup to start the season will eventually be their starting lineup at some point before this season's run ends, whenever it ends.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be tough to take Marcus Morris out of that starting lineup if he doesn't fall back to earth. And he might. But if he doesn't, it's going to be tough to take him out.
Sure. Look, you can make a solid case for a lot of different variations of this.
Yeah.
Marcus Morris as a starter and Marcus Smart as, like, I'm perfectly happy going with this starting lineup. But at the same time, I think the Celtics are probably the most dangerous when it's Gordon Hayward at full strength and Jaylen Brown in the starting lineup. Like, I think that is going to be a fantastic starting lineup if everything gets to its best potential.
Although I'm kind of starting to come around on Manu Gordo off the bench.
Okay.
Because I just think if you have Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier and Aaron Baines and whoever else, I just think there's not always a lot of scoring guys who can go get their own shots and create for others. Like, Marcus Smart can create for others. Terry Rozier can get his own. But Gordon Hayward, I think he just adds a different element, a different spacing, a guy who, to me, he runs the best pick and roll on the Celtics. Like, he's a guy who can make every single pass. He's one of the best 6'8" passers in the NBA, in the world. So I'm coming around on Manu Gordo kind of leading things in that second unit. I think that kind of makes that hop. And obviously, like, you got a lot of defenders coming off the bench, but they needed to have a little more dynamic playmaking in that group, and Gordon Hayward does it.
I'm perfectly happy to have that happen too. So I still believe that the team wants to have that original starting lineup. I believe that they find value in that, but there's certainly it's not advocating against keeping the status quo. It's certainly not advocating for changing the starting lineup at all, but I just feel like at some point that's going to be their best lineup. Maybe they never start it. Maybe that's just how they finish, but I still at some point believe that can be their best lineup. And maybe it won't be till next season. Maybe it'll take a lot longer for that to be their best lineup. But eventually, at some point, I think Kyrie, Tatum, Brown, Gordon, and Al Horford's going to be their best lineup. So we'll see. If things keep going the way they're going right now with this lineup, I'm perfectly happy to roll with winning 8 out of every 9 games. So we'll just leave it at that. One more Jaylen Brown question from Mauricio Green. I'm wondering if Jaylen Brown's season beginning struggling has any relation to the Jabari Bird case. For anybody who doesn't know, Jabari Bird, Jaylen Brown were teammates at Cal, and Jabari was, I believe, a junior when Jaylen got there. So I don't know.
And Jabari lived with Jaylen for parts of last season too.
Right. So
they were close. I would say probably not. I mean, we've seen Jaylen play incredible basketball after just heartbreaking tragedy when his best friend passed away last season. And he had the game of his life. So, I mean, this is a tough question to answer because I have no idea, honestly. But we have seen Jaylen persevere through some really tough things before.
Yeah. I don't know the answer either. But like I said, they are friends, and maybe there's, like, anything that becomes a distraction has the potential to hurt somebody's performance. I'm sure that there is something going on there, that they're friends, they've spoken. The Jabari Bird situation is it is what it is, and I'm not going to go into any more depth on it other than he appeared in court on Tuesday. Nothing of note. He is still a member of the Boston Celtics. There is no significant progress in his case, and it's up to the league to determine what the next step is with him and his, I guess, employment in the NBA. So at this point, it's a league matter, and the Celtics, I suppose, could cut him at any time, but that's an entirely different discussion. Jaylen Brown's, you can say that it's one thing that Jaylen Brown probably doesn't need to be dealing with, to have a friend going through something like this, but I don't think that's exactly the, to answer the question, maybe it weighs on his mind, you know, but at the same time, I don't want to get any deeper into the conversation for fear of being misconstrued as a tragedy on all fronts, and we'll just move forward from that. Next question on the Rain and Jays hashtag. We'll go into some roster move type of stuff at Jovian Shadow. Knowing the Seas are targeting Anthony Davis in the offseason, is there a trade during the season that you think helps the Celtics? Say Brown, Rozier, and Yabu for, I don't think there's any move in the season that's going to help the Celtics. I think Danny Ainge is dead set on Anthony Davis or bust. If he's going to make a move, he's not going to do anything to jeopardize that. So I'm going to bet that the Celtics are very quiet at the trade deadline.
If they do make a move, the one kind of area that would make sense for them to pick up some help is just a free throw getter, like someone who just gets to the line. They don't really have a lot of that. Like, there are some guys who just specialize in that. Like, Lou Williams comes to mind, although Lou Williams, obviously, he can score in a lot of ways. But there are guys who are just so good at getting the line, and the Celtics don't have that. As people on Twitter like to say, the free throw grifters.
That's my favorite. One of my favorite things, the ways to put something like that, the free throw grifters. That's always fun. Let's see here. John McDonald, given the Pelicans' need for rim protectors, not named Anthony Davis, neither Randall nor Mirotić are legit paint guys. Should the Seas try to develop Rob Williams, i.e. more minutes, into a more appealing trade piece in case a deal is there this summer? The Celtics' goal is to win games. They are certainly not going to give Robert Williams. I know a lot of people want more minutes for Robert Williams, but at the same time, he struggles in some facets of the game. If you look past the awesome lobs and blocks, he's still figuring it out. He's a rookie. He's been in the league for 3 months. So let's not go too crazy there. I don't think putting him in situations where giving him more minutes than he deserves or taking away minutes from guys that can help the Celtics win games just in order to maybe showcase him for the Pelicans. It also, I'll say that the Pelicans know what he is. They know who he is. You don't need to play him five more minutes a game for the Pelicans to go, oh, wait a minute. They know. They've got scouts. They've seen the tape. They know exactly what he can do, and playing him 5-10 more minutes a game even wouldn't change anybody's opinion.
Yeah, I don't think there are any questions about the fact that he has great basketball talent. Like, everyone knows he has great basketball talent. He was considered, you know, a top 10 level player heading into the draft. Either year he would have gone. It's the other stuff, the work ethic stuff that people want to know. And I think the Celtics they've kind of raved about him in that sense. From veterans on the team to the coaches to everyone else, like he's drawn good reviews. Brad Stevens will never give young guys minutes unless they earn it. And behind Al Horford, Aaron Baines, and Daniel Tice, Robert Williams just isn't going to earn those minutes, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. I mean, like I just said, he's struggled in some pick and roll situations. He's great in some of these limited minute situations because he's an unknown to a lot of people in the NBA. And there's no, I guess, game planning for him. He's not in the game long enough. There might be some sort of, hey, if Williams gets in the game, we're going to attack him this way. But he doesn't get a ton of minutes. And a lot of the minutes that he's gotten so far have been garbage time minutes. So at this point, just let's give him the time to develop. We're going to take
I do love the outrageousness of the alley-oops that the Celtics throw to Robert Williams. Like, he can be double, triple covered, and they're just like, I want to use this new toy. Like, let me throw this up there. It's like, guys, you have a wide open lamp. Just go take it. No, but they've got to get used to playing with him.
Yeah, absolutely. The alley-oop's much more fun. You got a guy who can go up there and get it. It's you got to see. I would almost be intentionally throwing bad alley-oops just to see.
That's kind of what the Celtics do.
They unintentionally throw bad alley-oops. We're going to take a short break. Back with more of the Rain and Jays hashtag when we come back here in the Locked On Celtics podcast. All right, let's get back into this. Prof Chop, how are the Celtics going to keep Marcus Morris next year? Who moves on to make cap room, and what do the C's want back?
It's not a cap room issue.
Yeah.
They'll have his bird rights, so it's just a question of how much money are you willing to spend on your roster and on your salary tax when Kyrie Irving is going to make a bundle of money on his next contract, and Al Horford, he's going to make a bundle of money on his next contract, assuming he stays. And Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to make bundles of money at some point. So how much are you willing to pay to keep this roster? And how important do you think Marcus Morris is to this moving forward? I would argue he's clearly become more important. He's shown himself more important this season than probably the Celtics anticipated. And that's just because he's shown he can play alongside great players and he can be a complementary piece in ways that he never tried to do before. At least he never showed he could do before in Boston. Last year he was ISO Mook and now he's like spot up Mook, and things have changed for the better in that sense. And it just makes him more valuable to this roster, especially moving forward when you know they're going to have a lot of good to great players that he would be playing with if he stays long term.
The Celtics are going to be a very expensive team next year. Let's assume that Kyrie Irving and Al Horford somehow are going to combine to make about $48 million. And when you throw Gordon Hayward's 32 plus in there, that's $80.7 million. Then you throw Marcus Smart in there and it's $93 million, and that's just, so now that's four players, and then you throw Tatum in there and you're up over about $101 million. So to get to Marcus Morris, he's earning a fair amount of money. Like, his next contract, playing the way he's playing right now, should get him, at the very least, I think puts him in the Marcus Smart money. Like, that's a good baseline. If I'm his agent and saying you can get like about $12 to $14 million a year, I think that's a fair landing spot for him. Somewhere around 12, let's say, to $15 million a year for him. That's a lot of money. We're already talking about the Celtics with five guys being up over $100 million. And that's right about the salary cap. It's just going to cost a lot. What's Aaron Baines going to do? Is he going to opt in? Jaylen Brown makes $6.5 million. Yabu's guaranteed for next year. You got Robert Williams. Daniel Tice is a restricted free agent. What do you do with him? Terry Rozier's a restricted free agent. He's probably gone, but who knows?
I will say, a random highlight of Celtics practice today. I didn't notice that Yabu had dyed his hair a new color.
Platinum blonde.
Until one of the Celtics assistants came over to me and said, you know that Cisco's thong song? He said, go check Yabu. And I looked over, and sure enough, he had the Cisco look.
I'm appreciative of the Celtics players dyeing their hair platinum blonde to resemble 90s music icons.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah, so I mean, you got Tice, you got Yabu. I mean, who's next? Who will be the next Celtic to dye their hair blonde? Who could possibly? I mean, probably Marcus Smart. He's already kind of done some of it, but can you imagine Marcus Smart full blonde?
Yes, that seems right up his alley.
That would be fun. Continuing on now with the Reignin' Jays hashtag. Prediction, will Time Lord have Aaron Baines' rotation minutes at the start of
next season? Oh, next year.
Definitely not this year. Definitely not next year. I don't think he's going to overtake Aaron Baines by next season.
I mean, it depends on is Robert Williams still even on the roster? Is Aaron Baines on the roster? There's a lot of questions about this roster moving forward. So let's think about Baines versus Time Lord in the future. Get that Time Lord reference?
That wasn't funny until you tried to make it funny.
See, that's why you gotta add that inject little... your own humor sometimes. Just poke fun at your own humor, and then it becomes funny.
That's great. At Ball and Opinions, how worried should the Celtics be about Horford's health moving forward? I'm not worried.
I don't think it's too big a deal. The big thing is that he can linger, and seems like they're committed to giving him a lot of time here to make sure that it's not something he needs to deal with too badly moving forward. And like, this is the thing he could play with. This is the thing players can play with. And so I don't think like it's just a matter of getting him as comfortable as possible over the long term. And that's why they're going to be cautious. And that's why we've seen them, you know, him sit out, I think, 8 of the past 12 games or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm not concerned. I've said this before on the podcast. It's something that I know a little bit about. He doesn't have a history of it. He's dealt with it occasionally. It's a little bit of an overuse injury. Yeah, it can linger. Absolutely can linger. So, but at the same time, it's something that you can kind of work away through, through therapy, through treatment, through some medicine. So I don't expect them. I don't expect this to linger. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. It doesn't seem like it was a catastrophic injury. It was just one of those little overuse things that with some strengthening and the therapy, though, that he'll be fine. So I don't think the team's worried. I'm not worried. And we'll just leave it at that. Next, a question about draft picks from at Ivan Spitfire 93. Is there any hope for the draft picks we get this year, or are they all going to be in the 20s? So for people who don't know, the Celtics have basically 4 draft picks this year, their own. They have the Philly pick, the Sacramento pick through Philly, which is top one protected. If it's the number one overall pick, it goes to Philly, and then we get Philadelphia's. So it'll probably be Sacramento's. We get a pick from Memphis that's protected 1 through 8. So anything 9 or below, the Celtics will get. And we have a pick from the Clippers that's top 14, basically lottery protected, in this upcoming draft. So right now, at this point, Sacramento is tied for the 8th seed. And Memphis, and the Clippers are a game ahead of them. So the Clippers pick will convey if they make the playoffs. The Grizzlies pick would convey at this point and be probably in the mid-teens, and same with Sacramento at this point. So will they all be in their 20? I guess the question here, Jay, is do you think the Clippers, Grizzlies, and Kings will regress at any point here, and where do you think they'll finish?
What's crazy is the Kings are only 2.5 games up on 14th place in the West. Like, the West is
crazy. Yes,
is just chaos. It really is. The last few spots in the playoffs, like, you go on a 3-game losing streak and you drop from 7th to 14th. And so the Kings won't be as bad as I think a lot of people anticipated this season. They won't be one of the five or six worst teams. I think like 7th or 8th is possible if things go wrongly for them. They're still like kind of whatever's going on with Dave Yeager and the front office. They're still a young team. They're still like, they've played really well so far, though. They've surprised a lot of people, and that's potentially a big issue, because that pick, if that had been the number two pick or a top five pick, then that's another great prospect or a great chip to go after Anthony Davis. So I think Celtics front office must be really disappointed that the Kings are not a dumpster fire for the first time in years.
I know, right? And the problem is now, at this point, even if they do fall back down to earth, they've gotten such a lead on the worst teams. The five worst teams in the NBA, all teams with single-digit wins from the bottom, it's Atlanta, Phoenix, Chicago, Cleveland, and New York. The Sacramento Kings right now are 16-14, and they are 8 games ahead of the New York Knicks. So for the Kings to fall down to where they need to go, it's not just that they need to lose, it's that these other teams need to win. So I can see something going wrong with Sacramento, be it an injury or be it incompetence or something coming back down to earth. I can see the Kings regressing a bit and finishing below 500 on the season. What I can't see is the Knicks, Cavs, Bulls, Suns, or Hawks going on such winning streaks that they somehow climb in the ranks and drop Sacramento down enough draft spots where they become a top five team. Like, at this point already, I'm not exactly writing them off because it's still technically too early, but I just don't see how the Knicks, with 9 wins, make up enough ground to catch Sacramento.
The Kings ain't going to be in that tier. It's whether they're like a playoff team or whether they fall off and become like, you know, 9th, 10th pick type
but
stuff.
We were hoping that the Kings would be in that tier. Like, we were hoping the Kings would be a single like, if the Kings were 9-23 right now, like the Knicks are, we'd be sitting fat and happy. But we're just fat now where I am. You've gotten it back into shape. But the answer is that these picks, like the Clippers pick was always going to be somewhere in the mid-teens if it conveyed, because it's lottery protected. The Memphis pick was always going to be obviously somewhere lower than – it's top 8 protected. So whenever it conveyed, it was going to be fairly low. But it was that Kings pick, and now that Kings pick might be the lowest of the three, which is kind of sad. And like you said, it kind of takes away some of the oomph in an offer that you can make for an Anthony Davis, because you say, we've got 4 draft picks, but if the highest of your draft pick is 9 in this draft, I don't know that that's particularly great. And right now this draft seems a little bit top heavy. We'll see how, as we get closer to March, how that plays out, but not the best news when it comes to the draft. Sorry.
Yeah, the dreams went from like Zion to whoever's 9th or 10th or whatever.
That would have been so much fun. At Jake Isenberg, Tito for Mikal Bridges. Who says no? I mean,
Phoenix. I feel like we've had this exact same.
Have we?
Trade proposal? Yeah, like 4 times. I feel like
this is the
people's favorite trade proposal.
I don't because because Bridges is young and promising, and they need a point guard. I don't think they're going to give up on Bridges yet. He's a rookie. Like, you don't give up on a rookie just yet. I mean, I know it's Phoenix, but come on. I don't buy it. So I think Phoenix says no.
I have no additional thoughts. Go back and check my thoughts on this trade proposal from before.
I don't even remember any thoughts from before. It's the first I remember reading this. Maybe I'm just forgetting.
It might have been me and Jam just crushing mailbags earlier this year.
Maybe. All right. Last Rain and Jays, and kind of transitions us into Rain and Junk. At Ricardo A 1618, what would happen if Marcus Smart and Kevin Garnett shared the same practice and defended each other? Would the universe implode?
No. Kevin Garnett would score all the buckets, and Marcus Smart would score none of the buckets.
But I don't know, man. I think Marcus Smart, like Marcus and Garnett going at each other, like that would be, obviously Garnett is better by a lot.
If they guard each other, Garnett would just shoot over the top of his head every time.
But don't we, like Marcus Smart would still find ways because he's Marcus Smart. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, I mean Marcus Smart is fantastic at what he does. But Kevin Garnett had that, and he was 7-1 and could shoot, and had like crazy post footwork, and I'm just not buying this. This is a matchup that people want to see.
I think that's a matchup that people would pay money to see. I think people would pay money to see it like they paid for Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods.
Oh, and that was trash too.
I didn't watch it.
I did. I actually did. And it was trash.
But that they screwed up. Did you pay for it? Because they ended up giving that away for free.
They ended up refunding. I think yeah. I was at my parents' house, I think, and I made them pay for it. Shout out to me.
Do you get them to do your laundry too?
I used to. Now I do my own.
Okay, great. That's the Rain Jays hashtag. We're gonna leave that alone. We're gonna come back with Rain and Junk. It's gonna get goofy, and there's no Jam Packers, so we're gonna have to carry on this tradition when we come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. All right, time to get weird. People ask the questions. Jam ask a question. Let's just start. Let's kick it off with Jam Packard, who is off on a business trip. He asks, what is the conspiracy theory that you believe in most? Jay?
I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy. I know this will shock all the listeners. What is a conspiracy theory that I believe?
Do you have any?
No, I don't think I'm ever a conspiracy theory guy.
Yeah, I'm not either. So I don't believe in really any of these conspiracy theories. If there was a conspiracy theory that I wish was true, and it's a weird one. The Denver airport is believed to be a basically hiding place for an underground headquarters for the Illuminati. And I would just love that to be true. Like, because why the Denver airport? Like, it's such a stupid place for it to be. And it just shows how stupid people are to come up with that conspiracy theory.
Yeah, and you're the stupid one because you don't believe it.
Yeah, right. Oh, because that one is true?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't believe in conspiracy theories. You believe in the actual truth, and that's actual truth.
Exactly.
Because you're one of the Illuminati.
I wish.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a weird one, but that just if I could pick one to be true, That's the one.
Right.
Ball and opinions. It's Christmas Day. Each Celtic gets a gift based on a performance thus far in the season. Some get coal and others get blank. I feel like this is the match game. It's the old match game. You don't even know what the old match game was.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Do you even know who Gene Rayburn is?
Name sounds familiar.
Dude was a legend. Legendary 70s game show host. I mean, it's before you were born.
That's before my time.
Well before you were born. I mean, I was a kid, but like I have vague memories. That I just watch now like in the Game Show Network. But
yeah, that is not something I frequent.
Some of those old 70s game shows are really good. You got to check those out.
No thanks.
So, you know, you're missing out. So
I'll live.
The good gift. So some players get coal and others get... What's a good gift to get a Celtic player based on his performance?
Marcus Morris gets a bag of free agent money.
Come on. You can be better than that.
That was a good one.
Autographed pictures of Yabu's ass.
That is probably not what the Celtics players want.
No, but it's an awesome gift. And it's great for all ages.
Some would argue otherwise. What?
Kyrie Irving sings the classics.
Yeah, we'll get Kyrie Christmas CD.
Yeah. Kyrie sings the Christmas classics, but like in the middle of it goes on a big diatribe about why Christmas is bullshit.
Yeah, he doesn't like Christmas.
He doesn't like mainstream holidays. He does. That's
not his thing.
It's whatever. That's cool. It's fine.
Yeah.
Let's see. From Justin from Australia at Aus Celtics fan. Now that Jay is a high-rolling journalist for The Athletic and John has been snatched up by Mass Live, should we expect to see Jam commence working the beat for his preferred choice of media outlet? And if so, who? I would love to see Jam on the beat, but he's got his own job saving the world.
Jam went to, like, the Ivy League and stuff.
Yeah, he's actually, like...
Jam didn't go to Ivy League to join the beat.
He didn't.
No.
But, as I always say, he's a regular beat writer for the Springfield Shopper, which Simpsons fans would know is the newspaper in The Simpsons.
Sweet, bro.
I just like making these Simpsons references that you have no clue about.
Yeah, that was so entertaining.
I bet Simpsons fans laughed at it.
Yeah. Sure.
You don't like good things. I've just come to accept that. You just don't like good things.
I'm just not a cartoon guy.
You just like trash things.
I'm not a cartoon guy. You think Happy Gilmore is a trash thing? That's a lunatic statement.
No, Happy Gilmore is not a trash thing.
All right. Then we admit. I have great taste.
You like it at probably a trashy level.
I mean, it's one of the greatest comedies of all time. I have no problem saying that.
Okay. And let's see. One other rain and junk question. See, this is a tough one. Best pizza in Boston. Bonus for Corrales. Who's got the better pie, New York or Beantown?
Boston pizza is all trash. Go to Western Mass if you want good pizza.
Oh. See.
I've been messing with a new place, though. Pinkies. Pinkies is legit. I think it's in Medford. Pinkies is legit.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, they should throw us on as a sponsor. Pinkies is big time.
Okay. Pinkies from Medford, give us a shout.
Yeah.
LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com.
Yeah. But most Boston pizza is trash.
It's actually been a while since I've had pizza in Boston. Here's my problem is I think bad pizza is still good.
Yeah, like, so do I. Like, I'll eat any type of pizza, but Boston pizza, it's not great.
I also will say that New York pizza is overrated.
Yeah, New York pizza, it's trash too. Like, don't think I'm hyping up New York pizza. Like, you're trash too. You're garbage. Everybody thinks it's so good just because you're a big city and you got some floppy bum ass slices. But no, no. Go to Western Mass if you want a good slice. Go to Pizza Shop. Go to Red Rose. Go to Family.
I would go to
Joe's in Northampton. That's where you get the good pizza.
For the people who live there, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's good pizza. I'm not driving 3 hours for a slice of pizza.
It's an hour and a half. Let's relax, John.
It's at least two and a half hours.
No, it's not. It's an hour and a half.
God, it's been a long time. So I just don't have any Boston Pizza recommendations. I will not say Boston Pizza is trash. I think Boston Pizza is pretty good. I think people, honestly, if you have a strong opinion about which pizza is better, Boston or New York, I think you're trying too hard. Because pizza is good, and Boston pizza is good, New York pizza is good. But I will say that people who think New York pizza is some sort of orgasmic experience, it's not. It's pizza. I don't get it. I just don't get it. It's good. You can go and pizza in New York is so ubiquitous. I used to live on a block where there was a pizza place on the corner and there was another pizza place on the opposite corner, and they both did great business. It's just pizza's good.
This might be my favorite little segment of all time, just you trying to explain pizza.
It's good. Pizza's good. It's just
pizza's good. And then there's this restaurant on my block, and there was another restaurant on the other block.
There was.
And they were both good.
They were both good. They were both good.
This has been my favorite segment ever.
But isn't that crazy though? New York. I mean, two pizza places on one block. Isn't that crazy? It's one of the most insane things I've ever heard.
This will probably be the most heat I ever catch because I came out here saying Boston Pizza's
trash.
Boston
Pizza's trash.
People are going to come at me.
Boston Pizza is not trash.
It is. It's good. He's just trying to cater to the people.
No, I'm not kidding. Pizza's good. Like, the pizza is good. There's no nuance to it. Like, unless it's just, like, soggy and undercooked. But mostly, if you just cook the damn pizza the right way, it's going to be pretty good. Just go enjoy it. It's not hard. Okay, that's it. That's enough. I'm sick of this podcast. I'm sick of you, Jay. I'm done. I'm wrapping it up.
Go get a slice of pizza, bro. Call Pinkies.
I'm going to go get a slice right now from Boston that's not trash.
Because call Pinkies. Pinkies is good.
I should go check that out. Pinkies.
Yeah.
In Medford, you said?
I think so.
That's not far.
Yeah. It's big time.
All right. All right, so that's it. Pinky's getting free advertising here, just giving that shit away, Jay.
They should send me free pizza. That's what I need.
That's what you're angling for, is free pizza.
Yeah.
That's slick. I like that.
One pizza a week.
One pizza a day, more like it.
Basically.
Yeah, so all right. So that's the podcast. I hope you new listeners have enjoyed. Hope you subscribe. Subscribers, give us that 5-star rating and a good review. Share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.